We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whew. Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And I want to thank you for your patronage. Thank you for listening to the show and reviewing it, rating it on your podcast app there. I appreciate you taking the time. And now I want to reach out to my good friend, Fire Camino. Let's give him a call.
Hello.
There he is. What's up, buddy?
Not much, man. How are you?
Oh, you and me have something in common, my friend. We are working a lot of overtime.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. What'd you say?
Working a lot of overtime. What was you going to say?
I was going to say stuck.
Oh, stuck, are we? What are we stuck on there, buddy?
We're stuck on Highway 31. So for those of you that will probably see this on the news, both sides of 459 are closed down, northbound and southbound, because apparently there was some big-ass crash. So I have, me and Alan, before this phone call, talked for maybe a half hour, and I have gone a mile. So I may never get home.
That's something about it, right? And well, you get off work, and the first thing you're looking forward to do is using the rest of your day to do what you well please, and you can't because you're stuck.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that all day at work today, of where I was like, I cannot wait to get off work and stare at the back of a gray Chevy Equinox for 2 hours.
Do they at least have interesting bumper stickers to read?
Not a single one. This is a stock Chevy Equinox.
I've been wanting to get me more stickers on the back of my truck. Trying to think, what should I deck it out in my friend's band or songwriter merchandise stickers, or I don't know what to do here. Maybe very obscure movie stickers. I don't know.
Bands are always fun. I always like seeing bands, especially when it's kind of an obscure band. So you go, oh shit, they listen to Zeke. That guy's cool. You know
the thing about the band stickers, especially like, you know, on the indie scene, and you know it as well as I do, is, I mean, I've got some here on my guitar case. I love these people, and I like what they do, but unfortunately, they're not a band anymore.
Yeah.
And, man, do I hate peeling off a sticker. You never can get it completely gone, can you?
Well, I like keeping it around, because it's like a memory, you know?
of once what once was. I got a good one that my buddy Nooski sent me, and it's good with the times. It says, Dave Grohl doesn't listen to Nooski. And it's got a, you know, a cartoon figure of Dave Grohl not listening to Nooski. So in other words, not having a good time.
Well, he seems to not be having a good time at all lately.
And I don't know if he made those stickers up after or before. I would assume before, just because, you know, how long have the Foo Fighters and Eagles of Death Metal. What other iterations of? I mean, Dave Grohl's got several things that he's done over the years that were very good projects, and I mean, what, Foo Fighters have been on top of the world for a long time now.
Yeah. Did you ever listen to Protobot?
I've never heard of that, Josh.
All right. Protobot was a metal album that he did where he just drummed on everything and then he'd invite different people in to, like, basically write the song and shit. And it had, like, Lemmy on it and fucking, like, I think the dude from Judas Priest. And, like, there's some kick-ass fucking songs that came out of that Protobot stuff.
Yeah, you know, like, if one thing that that we're learning about maybe the music industry right now more than ever, you know, the people maybe we idolized growing up, I never really did idolize Dave Grohl, but look at old P. Diddy. He's not having a good time right now either.
No. But the Dave Grohl thing, I think, is kind of ridiculous. I mean, like, hey, don't cheat on your wife, but also, too, it's like, you mean to tell me the big rock star got pussy? It's like, yeah, no shit he did. Like, you know.
That's one of the things, like, when it belongs in those magazines that you see at the checkout aisle at Walmart, the tabloids. And two, like, as everyday citizens who are getting up, working the 9-to-5 and carrying on about our family and our business, we don't really have the capacity to give a shit about that.
Right.
So I don't.
No,
go ahead.
I will say this, though. Like, if you're Dave Grohl, why are you raw dogging anything? Like, you're like a multi-million-dollar rock star. Like, listen. I don't raw dog anything, and I have like $300 in my bank account. You know what I mean? Like, this is a fucking, you got a lot more to lose, buddy. I wouldn't be fucking out there just being like, I'll hit it raw, you know?
Yeah. You know, in the moment, in the heat of it, I get it. But still, again, you're absolutely right. A guy in your position, like, you better take the condom with you, too, when you leave.
Right, yeah. Do what Drake did and fucking pour the hot sauce in it. Did you ever hear that story?
I was actually about to go there. That's exactly where I was headed.
No, because, I mean, literally, like, yeah, you got to. Like, no fucking trap you, man. You gotta watch it.
I know you listened to it. It was at the end of the recent Stiff Tone episode, but what a cool note to close the interview on with what Rachel shared about the female egg when it comes to the conception.
Yeah, I never knew that it did that, where it would fucking chemically fucking behead them and shit. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, and it chooses who it wants. And so for everyone out there listening, it's not about being the best or worst. You were exactly who your mother wanted.
But that is also funny, because that means every time you come inside a woman, the fucking thing that's going on in the womb is the fucking end of Kill Bill.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my next point, women.
It sucks you don't have a Patreon. Because think of all the shit we could do if it was behind a paywall.
Hey, if we keep talking like this, maybe we'll have one. Who's to say? Man, I've thought about, you know, I've set it up, it's been set up for years now, Josh, and I never completed it to where, or at least I don't think I have, to where people could actually go look for it and view it, simply because all the content that I'm creating, like, I don't want to have conversations that have to hide behind something just for the sake of, dude, we get to be edgy for an hour, or we're going to tell these secrets, and we're going to tell these stories that, you know, we really want to tell, but we can't put it out for public consumption. That's, I always thought of that as being incredibly cheap, and, like Patreon, like I would like to just set it up to where if you like the show, I don't know what extra content I could provide you, but like you can give whatever you would like to give. And it's just because you really enjoy the show and you'd like to feel like you have a part in it.
You know what I've thought about looking into is they have this thing called coffee, but it's spelled with like a K. And then, like, people can just, like, oh, hey, here's $3, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a way for people to, like, support you.
Yeah, that's, I saw, and I don't know if this is true, but I feel like the tipping culture in America is getting out of control. And this may have been a video that was created just to go viral. And I haven't been, and... You know, I could get sick tomorrow, and I would have to go maybe. But I haven't been to a health clinic in a long time. I haven't had to go have anything seen about whatever in a long time. And so the guy is closing out his visit. He supposedly didn't have insurance, and he, you know, paid out of pocket for the experience. And he got checked out, got his prescription, and he's trying to leave, but the lady at the front desk that checks you out, she wasn't going to give him his card back until he tipped her.
See, that's what gets me is like, all right, remember like back when they started that iPad shit, they flipped the iPad around and then on the button for the no tip?
Uh-huh.
That button's gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to work like, extra hard to get around that thing now. Now, granted,
it's like, dude, I'm not giving you a tip if I'm fucking like, well, because like, right, the other day, and they had one of those like, look, I'm like, I'm soda and fucking check. It's not how this works, you know.
Oh yeah, dude. Like, for instance, I recently went to a venue to where. You know, you go to these beer booths, right? They have the cooler set up. They got the guy attending it. And he's checking you out on an iPad using Square, right? And I give him my card. I buy my two beers. And I'm checking out. And there's a tip option. And tip for what exactly? Because I could have reached over the counter and grabbed my... I don't need you to be here, by the way. Like, I could have just got the two beers and checked myself out.
Right.
Now, when it comes to sitting down at the restaurant, yeah, I'm going to tip. But, you know, by the way, like, I have a friend. She just got back from France, and she found it so bizarre that when she tried to tip, the servers would not take it, and they took it as an insult. What do you think? I'm poor?
Yeah, there's certain cultures where it's like an F you if you give them money.
Yeah. Over here, though, everybody wants a handout, huh?
I mean, listen. FireCamino440@gmail.com. You can PayPal me anytime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and, you know, and that's, you know, it's the same thing like with the Patreon. Same. So, I mean, it's kind of both sides of the coin there. But you know, I believe in, once again, if you like something and you enjoy it, and if you would like to give to it, do so. Like, I always like it when people share their Cash App, their Venmo, their PayPal on their birthday.
Yeah.
And like for you, for instance, like we live an hour and a half, 2 hours apart. Maybe on your birthday, I would like to give you $10. Here, buddy, go get you a six pack.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, have a beer on me.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I didn't know that this was kind of had the same thing happen. One of the Philly comedians had a birthday. And, you know, I shot him a happy birthday, man. Hope it's great. What's your Cash App, man? I'd like to send you some bucks and you go have a drink or, you know, whatever on me, right?
Yeah.
And took offense to it. You don't have to do all that. It's not that I have to. Brother, I want to. I want to show my appreciation for you.
Right.
Yeah.
This is being nice. It's just being like, hey, you know.
Yeah, and I understand, like, you're being nice in turn by saying don't worry about it, but I had it in my heart that I wanted to give you a $5, $10. I had that set aside for you. I was waiting for this opportunity.
Also, like, $5, like, if you buy someone a beer, that's not an exorbitant. I bought homeless people that I don't even know beers. Like, it's not that big of a gesture, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you said that. Like, when I see a homeless person, I go ahead and go to the gas station for them, and I go ahead and get them two tall boys and just hand it. I just saved you some trouble. Now go hide under the bridge and get silly.
Here's what kills me is there's certain gas stations, like I know in like Avondale, like they won't sell to the homeless. Like they won't sell them beer and shit. It's like, dude, their money's green like anybody else's. What the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
I don't.
Why won't you sell them a beer?
I know exactly the gas station that you're talking about.
That's the no-go?
I had a homeless guy. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard. A homeless person giving me money so that I could go in and get what he wanted.
Yeah. Isn't it funny to get hit with a hey mister from a guy that's like 65?
Oh, absolutely it is. It's even stranger though, Josh, when it's a female because, you know, I always want to tell them it's like, now, sweetheart, we both know you don't have to do this. Like, nobody, and I'll say this about the culture, is nobody cares about the guys. Like, you know, it's always pick yourself up by the bootstraps, and if you have a problem, you got to solve your own problems. And I'm thankful for this, but when it comes to the other sex that we do have a little more grace, and there's when it comes to government. I mean, there are there's a lot of homes set up just for the women, you know, where guys really don't have that.
No, I mean that's what sucks. Is like literally, and also too, like with young guys, they'll try to kind of help them because they're high, we can get work out of them. But fucking like those old homeless dudes. They don't give a fuck. Like, they don't do nothing for them guys.
No, they don't. And, you know, a lot of time, oftentimes, they're veterans.
Yeah. Which is something that, like, it kills me, like, not to immediately get political, but, like, you know, conservatives always talk about, like, oh, we don't do enough for the troops, people don't support the troops, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, all right, well, what do you do for the homeless?
Right.
You know, because, like, there's a big population of them that's troops. Like, you know, hey, you want to do all that hoorah, I love America, fucking let's support the troop shit, support the homeless.
Well, and that's so true. And Josh, I mean, it's scriptural at best. You know, hell, it's in, I think, probably all four Gospels. I know for sure it is Sermon of the Mount and the Gospel of Matthew to where to the least of these, what you have done, you have surely done unto me. And who are the least of these? Those without a home.
Right.
And so, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. And they always play it off as, well, if I give, I'm being an enabler. And I know, like, I've been a part of some churches that had food pantries and, you know, would go to great lengths. Like, if a family is struggling to pay a power bill, they would do that. Now, if you began to do it monthly, they would begin to raise questions. It's like, look, now we're here to help, but at the same time, you can't take advantage of this.
Right.
You know, we're here, like, tough times happen, and we would love to help you and minister to you in this way, but you cannot continue to ride off of us.
Yeah, you can't just live off of it, but look, we've all been there. We've all been a little short, you know.
Oh, yeah, dude. But speaking of which, I mean, back to the beginning of the call, man, I'm approved for overtime at my day job, and I couldn't be more excited. There is blood in the water, Josh. I'm working so hard right now to get debt-free, and also I'm working very hard right now to put more money back for Porch Fest, because it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, it's coming up. I mean, damn, dude, this year's flown by.
Truly has. I was on the phone with my brother the other day, and you know, he came over to Starkville, and he brought his wife and kids, and I was thankful for that, because I hadn't laid eyes on him since the beginning of summer. And when we're talking on the phone, it just seems like yesterday, but then when you actually look at the calendar, it's like, oh, we really haven't hung out in a while.
Right.
I mean, same goes for us, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost been a month since we've talked. I mean, we've just both been so damn busy.
Yeah, and it was so crazy. Like, after the last episode that we had done, we were talking about, you know, do we keep adding steam to the machine and keep pressing in weekly, or I don't want you to burn out. Do we give it a break? And then here, life is just giving it a break for us.
Right. So, well, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm. And we're back now, man. Josh, I wanted to tell you, just to kind of swap gears a little bit, I saw some footage from your latest show at LCY Media, and I've got to say, I've said it since the first time I saw you, to tell the good people about you a little bit, your stage presence and what you're doing on the stage is the best part of your act, and I'm not knocking any other part of your act, but I'm always blown away by the energy, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you. No, it's one of those things where, you know, nobody plays a show like I do. Now, you ain't going to see another solo guitar act that does what I do.
Mm-hmm. Walking into yourself, yeah. I like that, and you know, it, seeing those videos, it made me think about my own stage presence and what I've been bringing to the table with the last few shows that I've done. And it makes me want to set up a little camera, and I want to record it, you know, not to post it, not to have content for social media, but for my own personal use, as far as, is what is the product that I'm given, is it the full package? Like, I don't want to, because you and I have both seen this, to where maybe the guy is a great songwriter, but his stage presence and his energy just drains the crowd because he's low energy.
Right.
And we don't want that.
As the thing you're talking about, recording yourself, I really do think that's a valuable tool. Like, I'll go back and I'll watch, like, my old performances and stuff. And it's not because I'm fucking narcissistic. It's like watching game film. You know what I mean? Like, when you're a football team, you sit and you watch what plays you did and you go, all right, well, that worked. That didn't work. Fucking cut that out. It's the same shit.
Absolutely. That was the exact metaphor that I was going to use, is it is literal game footage. Well, we can go back. Oh, well, man, right there, like, I've got to work on, the microphone. I need to be sure to be, more mindful of being on the mic, or maybe I do need to adjust my guitar a little bit because I don't look the way I thought I did up there, or even, the way that I'm moving, the way that, I'm interacting with the crowd, this is not working for me, and I've got to go back to the drawing board. So there's no better way. You got to have the footage.
Yeah. And having somebody that's good at doing it, like Alyssa here in Birmingham, she records a lot of the hardcore shows and stuff like that. And like having her record stuff's been amazing, you know?
Yeah, man, I was...
That's what a lot of my shows... If you want to ever find any of the Fire Camino stuff on YouTube, it's... well, you can just search Fire Camino, but it's all from OG Kush Consumer.
Very good. Yeah, I just... I wanted to be sure to bring that up because usually I'm on social media to post and get the hell out of Dodge. And right when I pulled up the Instagram app, you were the first thing that I saw, and so I clicked on it, and I was like... he's playing electric. The sound is great. And I was like, what he's doing up there is very addictive. I've got to watch the rest of this video. So, hats off to you and thank you for your service.
Anytime, man.
Yeah.
Hey, when am I going to get to bring that service back to Columbus?
Anytime you like, buddy.
Hell yeah.
So,
maybe,
go ahead.
I was going to say maybe an open mic sometime soon.
Yeah, I'd love that. I've actually got some openings if you ever wanted to do a whole Friday night show. And if you didn't want to do 2 or 3 hours, whatever, I don't mind opening for you, man.
Hell yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that off air. That'd be fun.
I'd like that. And that's one thing that I've been talking with Monson about is I've got a lot of opportunity right now, like... good friends from Druid City Brewing, shout out to you, Tyler, if you're out there. They recently had Lee Baines from Lee Baines and the Glorifiers. So Lee is, leaning more into the solo stuff, and Tyler had shared with me, he was like, look, I understand that you're doing some booking now. I bet Lee would like to get over to Mississippi. You should book him sometime. And I was like, do you know how much that would mean to me? Because, like, when I think about Lee, like, there are heavy hitters. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, if I could get somebody like Lee to come to Columbus and play for us, it would, like, it's almost like if you stumbled into Monson's at night and you had no idea who he was, you are in for such a treat.
Oh, yeah. No, and Lee's such a sweetheart, too.
Yes, he is.
I hung out with him one time at a coal miner's strike in Vance, Alabama.
That is one thing about Lee. Lee is a very political guy.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying how sweet he was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so if that door opens up, and once again, like same goes for like whenever you come over, Alabama has a special place in my heart. I'm an Alabamian, and I just think that music has never sounded better than what it does right now coming from Alabama. And for Alabama to come over here to Mississippi, although, you know, it's just across the state line, but it means the absolute world to me because it's representing, and it gives me a lot of a sense of pride. You know, I'm really happy and proud of what Alabama is producing when it comes to music right now.
Yeah. And it's a different feel, too, when you go and play. You know, and people are like, oh, well, it's just 2 hours away. It's like, oh, there's a difference, though. Like, it really, you know.
Truly is.
There's a difference in feel.
I always like the opportunity to play in a town that I've never played. And, you know, you always have, and I'm not dissing or anything about these venues, but you know, you've worked everything out, you have your show, you're going to play. There is just something about going to a place you've never been, full of people that you don't know. You don't know how the show is going to go. You don't know if it's going to be an empty room. You don't know if it's going to be packed halfway. You don't know if they're going to be into what you're doing. You have no clue. And man, there is just so much potential for, I mean, it truly is chaos either way you go.
Right.
And I love
yeah,
that. I love
never
that feeling.
Know what you're stepping into.
Yeah. And there's something about that. And it's, you know, I'll typically put on like Led Zeppelin, like when I'm heading, you know, when you hit the skyline of that town, I'm putting the Immigrant song on and I'm getting hyped up. Like, I'm an immigrant to the city now, and I hope she is well to me tonight.
Right.
We don't
know. Sometimes she ain't.
Very true. I wanted to share with you this. So, in 2025, I'm saying the 20s a whole lot. Next year, I am happy and pleased to announce to everybody that I will be working on my second record project.
Hell yeah, congratulations.
All right, and I am a bit disheartened, and I'll tell you the original idea that I had. But I'll tell you why we diverted away from this idea. So Munson and I have been talking about what Porch Talk should do next to kind of represent and put together another compilation record. And we are my idea that I presented to Munson went like this. I wanted to pick six towns in Alabama, six towns in Mississippi. And I was going to invite three Alabama musicians to come with me all over the state of Mississippi to these different towns. And we would host an open mic. And whoever these Alabama musicians deemed to be the best in these towns, we would offer to record that singer-songwriter or band. And when it came to Alabama, I would invite Mississippi over to Alabama, and they do the same.
Yeah.
So, there were two problems that I found with particularly Alabama. Is when it comes to Alabama, I only had five towns that I would be interested in going to that I know are doing things. You had, starting from the south, you had Mobile, obviously Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Huntsville, Auburn, and Muscle Shoals, Florence.
Yeah.
But here's my issue. We could probably do an entire album in Birmingham.
Yeah, easily. Like, there's so many, like, because who do you pick out of Birmingham?
Exactly. And there is... And so, what Munson and I discussed, and he changed my mind on, he was like, think about it like this. Do the states separately, and let's do Alabama next, and let's think about a way that we could be fair to Alabama.
Right.
And here's the thing about Mississippi. I don't remember the exact population, but let's just go with this. There are 3 million Mississippians. Per capita, when it comes to the entire United States, as a population, take any state across the board, more people in the state of Mississippi identify themselves as an artist than any other state in the union.
Huh, I never knew that.
And I mean, think Jim Henson, the Muppets, all the playwrights such as a Tennessee Williams, all your authors, musicians. When you cross the state line and go into Mississippi, it says, "Welcome to Mississippi, the birthplace of America's music." There's a lot of cultural history here of art.
Right.
And so, with putting together this idea and the towns that we're going to go to, so we're going to pick out, I think, 12 towns in Mississippi, and we're going to look population sizes. And I know, like, when we come to the north side and the south side, it's instead of going to Biloxi, we'll probably go to like an Ocean Spring, because like we want to focus on smaller population towns. Because if we were to announce to Jackson that, hey, we're coming and we got this thing, who's going to hear about it and who's going to care? There is so much hustle and bustle in Jackson that you're going to be a fly on the wall. But if you announce to a city population size of Columbus, there's a great chance that they might get a little excited about it.
Right.
And so, and that gives me more time to think about Alabama and kind of like a white underbelly experience. And if we go to Birmingham, maybe we don't go to Birmingham proper. maybe we, you know, pick the outside outskirts. You know.
Like Roebuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Or then, once again, maybe we do the whole damn thing in Birmingham. I don't know. Like, I've got more time to think about that one. But also, like, we pick a Mississippi artist who designed the record. And we're going to probably start a separate podcast. And we're going to do, like, a vlog to kind of video the entire thing. Like, Munson and I on the road going to these towns and... if with permission, filming the actual open mic or whatever kind of contest it is that night, and the picking of the winner and what we saw, and maybe those who didn't win, maybe, you know, they're great and they're doing their own thing. It just didn't happen to fall into what we were looking for. And right. So they'll still get exposed. You know, there's exposure for them.
Yeah, they're still getting something out of it, even if it's not, you know.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And another thing that'll really help is what we're thinking is Porch Talk is a nonprofit. It would probably be easy to write and tell the state about what we're doing and probably have the state fund it. Versus if it was Alabama and Mississippi, neither state would probably want to fund that.
Right, because it's not focused enough on the one for it to be worthwhile for them, you know?
Right. So, I mean, and so there's the big pitch, and I'm really excited about, and we're going to start hitting the road after Porch Fest, after we get that behind us, and hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll have something put together, and we can begin on the recording side of it and maybe have a record out by the beginning of 2026.
Hell yeah, that'll be fucking great.
But I'm awfully excited about the whole process because I had such a fun time producing and creating that first Porch Talk record, and I honestly just cannot wait to do it again.
Well, hell yeah. Hey, speaking of new records, fucking what do you think of Yohola?
I think we covered this a little bit last time, but I'll say this because I don't think I've spent more time with it now, and I don't think I've told you this, or at least not on the show. This is the best offering of Taylor Hollinsworth that we have to date when it comes to who he is and what he's doing every night when he plays a show.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it sounds the most like how it does live. Like, it captures that same kind of feel.
Yeah, and... shout out Matt Patton and everybody at Dialback, and man, they did a wonderful job. I caught the tour. They came to the Sunstroke House in Columbus, and man, it's just always a treat to get to see Taylor Hollinsworth live. I'm happy for you, buddy. That is an amazing record, and I hope that everybody will give it a spin and check it out.
No, it's fantastic. Like, it's one of his best. It's funny because, like, I had heard that record. Like, he showed me, like, when they were, like, still mixing it, working it, you know. But, like, you really don't get an appreciation for a record until it's, like, blaring out of your truck speakers while you're, like, going 80 miles an hour, you know.
Amen to that. Yeah. Well, dude, what else is good with you? I know you've been working a lot lately, but man, like what's really kind of been piquing your interest? What have you been excited about lately?
Fucking still working on another record, but I've been writing a lot lately, even though, like, it's funny, like, you almost enter this kind of lucid state when you're really fucking tired all the time. And so I keep getting bits and ideas for songs. So I've been, like, writing a lot, even though I haven't really had time to, like, sit down and make anything, you know, concrete. But I have a lot of bits and pieces to work on. So that's been good.
Very good. I've, last week, I've gotten to a habit, you know, I like to sit on my back patio and sit out and listen to music or, you know, call and talk to you on the phone or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so I've started a habit, like, you may be the same as me, but if I'm sitting in my room, if I'm going to play guitar, it has to be as accessible as possible.
Yes.
And so I started taking my guitar outside with me, and last week I completely finished two songs of mine, and I can't wait to share them and to see if there are any adjustments I need to make.
Hell yeah. No, that's one of those things, like, when I come home, like, if I'm gonna play guitar, I have to pick it up as soon as I walk in the door, because if I sit down and have a beer, the night's done. Like, because normally I'm so tired, it's just like, I'll sit there, I'll have a beer or two, I may eat, I may not, then I'll go to bed. Like, and that'll be my night, so, like, I have to, like, make an effort to be like, no, I'm going to play guitar, I'm going to, you know.
Yeah, and that's such a thing, man. Like, and I think you and I are probably the same on this. Hear me out. Let me give me a little drink so I don't cough so much, but like, I'm happy with my day when I get off work, because I do find my work fulfilling and I find it meaningful. But when it comes to, I've gotten off work and I have the rest of my evening, in order for me to feel accomplished in that zone is, I mean, and I'm sure a lot of people are fine with unwinding by turning on the TV and watching their favorite show. Or maybe they play a video game. Or, you know, maybe they paint, draw, or they play whatever they do. So, but for me, is like a day of complete fulfillment is I had a very productive day at work, and I come home, and I put my hands on my guitar for at least an hour.
Yeah.
And if I don't do that, dude, if it continues to build, it wears at me. Like, it's all that I think about at work, and then I kind of see, like, I'll begin to lash out a little bit, because, like, I have to have that creative outlet to kind of satiate, like, my, I guess, being, my, why am I here, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I have the same feeling. It's just I don't have the same discipline as far as, like, coming home and playing. Like, for that, I'll fiddle a lot. Like, I may come home, play 15 minutes, and then that'd be it. But there's also been times where, like, fucking, we had a dude get hurt at work, like, 2 weeks ago. And, like, that whole week, I came home, I went to bed. Like, I didn't play guitar for, like, a week. And, like, it showed. Like, when I finally got a day off and played, it was like, oh, shit. You know, but yeah, but you're right. Like it bleeds into your regular everyday life of where, like, when you don't have that outlet, like it does, it fucks with you. Cause you go, God damn it. I should be doing, like, you feel like you're wasting your gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been flirting with this idea for a little bit, and this is not fleshed out, but this is something I've been thinking of, is don't trade your blessings for soup. I think so many times that we trade in, like, you know, like these gifts or our dreams or like whatever we really want to do for like convenience, you know what I mean? Of where it's like, well, you know, I could go home and play guitar for an hour, it's like, or I could drink a beer and fucking pass out, you know? It's like, sometimes you just need that little extra push. You can't trade your blessing for soup.
I like that. That's a good way to put it. And also, like, I mean, just for those out there, maybe you play music, maybe you're playing shows. I had this recently, and I'm not going to say the name, but I would like to share this conversation just because I think people should hear it. He had just got through performing, and we're catching up after his show, and he asked me what I was thinking. And I told him, I thought you told me that this was something that you wanted to do. Like, this is what you wanted to do with your life. And he's like, that's right, I do. I love it. And I just looked at him. Could have fooled me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's taken back. What do you mean by that? And I was, well, I just watched your show, and you didn't even look like you were having fun. It looked like it was work to you. And that sucks, buddy.
Yeah, like, and you see it all the time. Now, it's different when it's, you know, like, you know, somebody starting out. Because sometimes it is just people being, like, nervous, you know. But fucking, what was I saying? Yeah, it's like people being nervous, but like when it's somebody who's done it like a lot, then it's like, dude, you gotta look like you're enjoying it. And listen, this is not me tooting my own horn, but this is a good example. Fucking, you know how earlier in the episode you brought up like my stage, like my presence on stage and stuff like that? It's like, well, that's kind of how you should do it. You should fucking give everything. Like, you look, should look like you're having the fucking time of your life while you're up there too. You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, like, you know, that conversation obviously got a little heated. You know, he took offense to it. And how dare you? And I was like, at the same time, if you're going to ask me a question like that, I owe it to you to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and jerk you off. I'm not going to do that. Because we're here.
Like when you get off stage.
Yeah.
It's like when you get off stage and people are like, that was good. And it's like, well, that don't help me none, you know?
Yeah.
Like, give me something, you know?
Yeah, I know that wasn't perfect. Give me something that I can work on. You're somebody that I trust because you do the same thing that I do. And you're very familiar with who I am. And as a songwriter now, give me the feedback and don't pull any punches.
Right.
And, like, I don't know, a lot of times I'm probably guilty of it myself, is when we ask a fellow musician if they happen to be at our show, when we fish for that, maybe we're oftentimes fishing for a compliment instead of criticism, and I think we should always be looking for some criticism.
Right. No, I mean, that's the thing, is that's how you grow. Like, truthfully, criticism is how you, well, when it's from reliable sources, you know.
Oh yeah, it needs to be constructive too, because I mean, obviously, if we're working in the same space, if I find you as someone who is a little bit ahead of me in the game, if I could knock a two for two out of your mouth, maybe that is how I can get ahead of you. So I mean, we have to be mindful of whose criticism that we take.
Right, because there, I mean, as shitty as it is to say, it is true, there are people out there that will try to knock you down and don't want to see you succeed.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that I love that our community says this, and I consider you to be a part of it, is we're about cooperation, not competition. And granted, I will help you as much as I can in places I can, such as if somebody wants to get into a new town and maybe I have a little pool there, I would love to do that. Also, I'm not going to do it if I don't think you're ready, because I am not going to put my name on that.
Right. But also, too, I'm not going to wipe your ass for you either. You got to fucking take up some slack. I may give you an email, but that doesn't mean I'm going to book the fucking thing for you.
Amen. Else, I'm kind of turning into your manager, and I'm going to start charging.
Right. And trust me, you don't want me as a manager, because I've been doing this for 8 years and haven't turned a profit. So you definitely don't want, you know.
Dude, I mean, very similar. Yeah. It happens sometimes. I'll have, you know, somebody ask about possibly managing their band or helping them book, and you could be my manager and I'll give you a cut. And I was like, buddy, just like you said, Josh, I don't know if you know my track record, but I lose money on this.
Consistent.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a porch fest? I lose my ass.
Right.
It's like, for the love of the game, like, baby. It's love of the game. Like, anybody, like, and I don't know, maybe, I'm sure, like, John Poor, when he was doing the Secret Stages, he probably had some success when it came to, we have the sponsors and the back end where I'm not having to pay this out of my own pocket. But, dude, I go ahead, like, and as big as the damn thing is getting, and I'm thankful for that. But, like, this coming year, I'm probably going to be at $3,000 to $5,000 out, and being okay with that. And you tell somebody that, and it's like, you're spending $3,000 to $5,000 on this thing, and you're not turning a dime. And it's like, no, that's red. I'm in the red.
Right.
Why do you do it? For the love of the game. Same reason I do this podcast. This is a chance for a lot of things to possibly happen. These singer-songwriters, these bands, they might be able to create new fans, and they can network and maybe begin to work with each other because they're from different places, and maybe they can open for each other, they can help each other out. And as someone who would come to Porch Fest, I curate and I book this thing myself, and like, I am very proud of the people that I asked to come perform for you.
Right.
So come check it out.
And Porch Fest is fantastic. It's one of the best music festivals I've ever played. You know, I can't get naked on MDMA at this, but it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I'm actually working on that. So I did book a DJ this year. He's 11. So there's a chance. There's a chance.
Yeah.
But he the last time that we did Porch Fest at my house in Kennedy, he went under a different moniker, and now he has a matter of fact, like, his dad has been on Porch Talk a few times, and I've met his son, and you know, he's incredibly brilliant. And his dad, he's like, so he's in the music, but he's more into the electronic. I know that you've dabbled into it. What would you recommend? And I was like, I would probably recommend what I'm using right now. And I told him about the hardware I use and the software. And he bought his son that. And then, you know, a couple months down the road, he has created like these DJ songs that he has written himself on his computer, and he puts on this mask and he gets up there and he dances and he has the time of his life. We're very happy that he's coming back.
Is that kid that I saw like 2 years ago?
Yes, it was.
All right. Hell yeah. No, that kid's awesome.
Kid rules.
Yeah. That's what always baffles me. Like whenever you see like really young people doing stuff, you go, "What was I doing at that age?" Because it was nowhere near as cool, you know. Like,
I was collecting Pokemon cards and playing baseball in the summer, and I was having, you remember those little cans of beef jerky that was incredible? It was like jerky dust.
Yeah,
I was getting a pinch of that and acting like I was dipping tobacco, and I was in the dugout, and we were putting so much eye black on, we were practically doing blackface. And we were chewing Big League Chew, and we were putting so much in our mouths that we could barely open and close it. We were being kids.
You don't have to look like Hank Aaron to hit like Hank Aaron.
Nobody told me that.
Oh, Lord.
I was probably
playing Star Wars Battlefront. I played the shit out of that as a kid.
Good game. And that's something else is, I played a lot of video games as a kid. I played a lot of video games as a teenager. I've play video games every now and then as an adult. I try not to, and if I do, I try to put a timer on it. It's like, do not waste more than an hour of this evening on this game. For what? Are you going to unlock an achievement or trophy? Who are you going to show that to that's actually going to be like, oh my god, can you believe he beat Elden Ring?
Alright, now listen. Rogers is this gas station that's on Old Springville Road. It's normally where I go to buy beer. And there's an old lady in there who met her husband through Everscape. And I'm like, man, think about that. You're like, oh, you're wasting your time with this video game. It's like, well, I found my wife on there.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But she moved. Here's what's wild. She moved from, I think it was like Ocean View, California, to Pinson, Alabama, because she met a dude on EverQuest. And it's like, damn, that's... Whew.
That is the love story of a lifetime, and I'm very happy for them.
Yeah. No, kudos to them. I don't remember her name, but kudos to them.
That would never happen to me. Every time someone tells me they're a fan of Porch Talk and they're a female, I automatically assume that it is a guy trying to scam me out of $20 a week.
Right, yeah.
It just never goes that way for me.
No, that's right. I could see something like that happening to me, and not because I have like some, I'm not like some Don Juan, whatever, but I think of every relationship I've ever been in, and I've just fallen ass backwards into it.
Same, brother. I haven't dated at all since my divorce, but, and honestly, so like I've been on dates, I've been on second dates, but every one of those, and I'll say this, I had a wonderful time, and sometimes I didn't call them back, sometimes they didn't call me back, but the same is true with each of those things, before my marriage and after. I fell right into it, and it was incredibly natural. And I'm not going to look for anything else than that.
Yeah.
And
if I ever try, it never works.
Oh, but yeah.
Then just randomly, it'll click.
Yeah. I mean, and how the hell do you try? I mean, what is, you get on every date nap? I mean, I've never done that. If you see me on a date nap, it ain't me.
I have a fucking bone to pick with fucking one particular. I'm banned from Tinder. I'm banned from Tinder because fucking, all right, so I know you've never been on one, but you verify your face. Like, you got to do, like, the stupid pose, and it, like, you take a picture of yourself. Well, my phone fucked up when it did it, and it banned me. And so then I went through the fucking arduous process of, like, going through the fucking appeals thing on their website, and then, like, eventually, like, went through all the emails and shit, and they're like, nope, your account's permanently banned because you were pretending to be somebody else. And it's like, buddy, it's me. Like, let me into the fucking, I don't even want to use the app, but, like, god damn it. Like, I can tell it's all AI. Like, no human being looked at this problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, they have you do as an Irish American, they have you trying to do, squinchy eyes, or what? How do they verify that?
No, it's normally something stupid. Like, normally you have to, like, take a picture of yourself, like, holding your fucking hand on your head, or fucking, like, stick your tongue out and close one eye. Like,
oh, that's,
it's always, like, some dumb thing like that.
Oh, that's every time I get a DM, if anybody writes me a DM, I always ask them to send me a picture of them holding a fork. I just got us in there. Why? I was just trying to book you. I need to know who you are.
Right.
we are interacting online, and this is already borderline going way too far. So, if I was a guy at Tinder, I'm kind of for it. I don't know if I want you on there, Josh. We don't want you on Tinder.
No, I need the skanks. The skanks are what fuel the songs.
Oh. He doesn't want Hinge, the dating app that was made to be deleted.
No, I need just an endless stream of bad decisions.
Hey, from what they tell me, every app is a dating app if you're an Indian.
Yeah, hey, that's, you know. I give kudos to them. If you're going to just shoot your shot through like a Facebook DM, fucking kudos to you, man.
Oh, and they do. They do.
Dude, you remember back in the day, they used to have these things called Romeo callers? And there was just fuckers that would go through the yellow pages and just call every woman's name?
Oh, I don't, but I love this. This sounds like, I don't know, it sounds like almost something. You remember when Dumb and Dumber, when Lloyd was, what was her name? Swanson, Samsonite, and he's flipping through the phone book, kind of that thing?
Yeah, it's like literally they would just go through all Juliet Smithers, and they'd go, okay, cool, well, let's call her, she sounds hot, and then try to like talk up chicks through the just phone book.
Oh, wow. Yeah, those days are long gone now.
Yeah.
Wow, just...
There's some...
Go ahead.
No, you go. Sorry.
I was about to be incredibly stupid.
Well, let me save you from that. So, there's some movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman where he's a Romeo caller, where he's just going through the phone book and calling chicks.
Oh, it was Rain Man.
Was it?
No, it was not. He was autistic in that one.
See, I never see movies. Like, I'm the worst. Like, there's so many.
Oh, no, that wasn't Philip Seymour. That wasn't Philip Seymour Hoffman. Philip Seymour Hoffman, the funniest role ever, Along Came Polly, during the basketball scenes. Rain Man.
Oh, where he's missing all the shots?
Making it rain.
Basketball?
Yeah.
That's me at the YMCA. If you ever wonder what it looks like when I go to the YMCA.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
I have been doing that. I have been, like, I'll go and I'll, like, do the machines and, like, lift weights. But, like, for my cardio, I've been playing basketball. And, man, I can't play basketball for shit.
I can't either. But I love it. I always love it. Like, you know, when I'm out on the job, on my day job. If there's a basketball and a hoop, you bet your ass that I'm going to take a shot, and I'm going to miss. But, you know, it's the only way to get better. One day I'm going to drain that thing, you hear me?
Yeah, that's it. Look, so you know how, like, they have a league? All right, so they have, like, the NBA and the WNBA. I think that they should have another WNBA, and it's just the NBA white guys, because, like,
that's called the Special Olympics, Josh.
Do what?
It's the Special Olympics.
I mean, you're not wrong, because, shit, you could probably call me retarded after seeing some of the shots I made today.
And that is what I love about you. We should start a basketball team just of genders.
Right, yeah, that would be great.
I love it. Hey, man, we just hit the hour mark. Anything else to do?
I don't think so.
How are you doing in traffic? Have you?
Fire Camino.
I'll cut you off right there. How are you doing on traffic?
I am in Birmingham, but still probably 45 minutes to an hour away from home.
All right, now please do your plugs again before I so rudely interrupted you.
No worries. Yeah, the interstates are fucked here. Hey, we get to do like one of them on the news where it's like a live traffic report.
Traffic is fucked. Moving on.
You can follow me on Instagram at Fire Camino, and that's where I'll have all my stuff up. Hopefully I'll have a record out soon. Literally... Alan will have his record out before you have my the next Fire Camino record. Go listen to Yohola. Taylor Hollinsworth is still the fucking man. Yeah. You got anything to plug?
No, man. I just really appreciate everybody listening to the show. As I told y'all before I called Josh, I really appreciate y'all rating and reviewing the show. And if you're really having a good time, it means the world to me if you share it. Tell your friend. If you enjoyed this, put it on your social media. I was listening to these two redheaded guys talk on the phone, and I just had a ball. That would mean a lot to me.
Yeah, hey, we are the two best gingers in entertainment.
Get the fuck out the way, Conan.
All right, well, you know, no, because he's a one-man dude. I'm great, way better than fucking Andy Richter.
Oh, hell yeah, we are. Well, dude, Josh, man, truly appreciate your time, as always. Good to have you back on the program, my friend.
Thank you. Hopefully I won't be missing again.
All right, brother. Peace.
All right. Good night. God bless.
One, two. Got a dream hanging on by a thread, but I'm learning how to sew. I got a dream hanging on by a thread, but I'm learning how to sew. I've never been too good with fingers, I've tied lots of rope. I got a hard head and a mallet, my feet dragging on the floor. Ooh. I got a hard head and a mallet, both feet dragging on the floor. Sometimes a man's got to move.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.